episode of Calm, Cool, and Connected is brought to you by Bridgeside Medical Clinic, Chesapeake Integrated Behavioral Healthcare, and Edgar Casey's ARE. Hello, and welcome to Calm, Cool, and Connected. I'm your host, Dr. Elizabeth Bedrick. What is trauma? I often explain trauma to my clients as an experience that shatters your worldview. So the way that we once viewed ourselves or others or the world as a whole can be completely altered from one single traumatic experience. Because of this complexity of trauma, treating it is often not simple or straightforward. But one very effective treatment modality for this is EMDR, or eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. Many of you are probably very familiar with this term, but aren't exactly sure what it means. So our next guest, Michael Klinkner, he's a licensed clinical social worker, a board certified PTSD clinician, and a certified EMDR therapist. He's here today to help us to better understand this treatment modality, what it means, who it's helpful for, and how it was developed. So welcome, Michael. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So first and foremost, can you give us a brief understanding of what exactly is EMDR? We hear that term frequently, but what does that mean?
Sure. It's so eye movement desensitization reprocessing. It's a psychotherapy that was developed by Dr. Francine Shapiro. She started the work back in the 80s, and then it really became much more popular in the late 80s, early 90s, and up to today. It's a type of psychotherapy that enables people to heal from their symptoms of like emotional distress and trauma and their other problems using a pretty like atypical, but not like what you usually would expect in typical therapy. Instead of like just talking through a problem or sometimes doing worksheets or things like that, EMDR uses what's called bilateral stimulation, which means the therapist in working with the client will use, typically it's eye movements where they'll have the clients move their eyes back and forth. In addition to focusing on the trauma or the disturbing experiences that they're trying to work through. As a result of this, it helps the brain process the trauma and then the emotions and the core beliefs in a really effective and much faster way than typical therapy does.
How is this approach even developed? That's all so fascinating. That's typically we think of trauma treatment as talk therapy. And so to add this approach in, how was it developed and what makes it effective?
So Francine Shapiro, Dr. Shapiro, the story she tells was one day she was thinking about their own bad things that happened to her, and she was wandering through a friend's backyard. And while processing her own emotions, she noticed her eyes started moving, darting back and forth. And that seemed to help a little bit. And so from there, she got really curious about it. She talked to her friend about it. They started practicing some things, and they very early started a lot of really good clinical trials to try to see if this was effective or not. And so by that time, she wrote her first book, they had over like 30 randomized trials, which is like in the science world is like the gold standard that you want to show that it worked. And so she then practiced how to do that on herself and then her clients and other people too. And then from there, it spread and spread. It's so effective because it works so much faster than typical therapy. There's lots of really good studies that show people can work through single traumas in like 3 or 6 sessions and sometimes multiple traumas that can be worked through in 12 sessions or less, which is the effectiveness comes from the ability to use the brain's own natural resources to help process through all those things that are coming up instead of depending on like the clinician helping the client to interpret their own problems.
Got it. Can you walk us through what this looks like from the initial intake? And then what does the actual EMDR process, what is that experience like for the client?
Yeah, so it is the experience up front in the beginning. I have to be really honest with clients and say like, whatever you're thinking about, like how therapy goes, throw that all out the window because this isn't how it looks. And so the way that you can, in the beginning, you'll start getting a timeline of the different historical things that have happened that you want to work on. And then it is in a session, the way EMDR will work is that the clinician will sometimes use fingers or a light bar to have the clients have their finger, their eyes moving back and forth as the therapist is helping them process that. Or there are other types of using the bilateral stimulation too. Sometimes people will use tapping like on their left side and right side, or they'll hold these like two little buzzy things in their hands that buzz back and forth that also cause that bilateral stimulation. So it's really, really different than a typical like, you know, a person sitting on the couch and then the clinician sort of just talking to them.
And do we know why that bilateral stimulation is so effective? Do we know what is the purpose of that in this treatment?
I tell clients all the time, like, it looks like voodoo and witchcraft. Like, well, I'm sorry, I understand that, but know that it does work. The research seems to pin, so we don't totally know exactly why it works, but the research is really showing that it works the same part of the brain that is also activated during REM sleep. And so what seems to be happening is because we're helping the client process in real time, awake in real life through the bad memories and the emotions, and then helping to activate that part of the brain that's involved with the REM sleep. That part of the brain is going to help process through those bad memories, similar to how, like, you know, like a dream can help you process through your day. That part of your brain can also help you process through these memories.
Got it. And are there other diagnoses that EMDR can be used for? Is it so originally being developed for trauma, but as it's evolved, is it used for any other diagnoses?
It's used for lots of stuff at this point. And so all of the associated like diagnoses or other problems that can come along with trauma, they found that can be really effective for. I personally have used it with clients for anxiety, for obsessive compulsive disorder, for depression, for like social anxieties, for lots of different phobias. There's really good ways of addressing a lot of those different problems. There's even some really cool stuff you can do like with kids or teenagers around like behavior problems and behavior issues that helps like that client look at things in a different way. So they're not quite so reactive. They don't get angry so fast, things like that.
Okay. And are there specific populations? Like, are there ages that are it's best suited for? Can it only be used with certain ages, certain populations?
Yeah, it's able to be used across all ages from very, very young infants all the way up through people into their geriatric years. Now, how you do that for those two different populations and everything in between is going to be really, really different in what you would be trying to address. But the more research they do, the more populations they do, the different ages that they do, they can just continue to find that it works and works no matter where they try it and who they try it with.
Okay. Why not only use EMDR then? So if we know that that is, as you were describing, the quickest response that we get with trauma treatment, why choose cognitive behavioral therapy or why choose any other approach over EMDR?
Yeah, so you know, not everything can work for everybody. And so for some people, they just don't like the idea of doing that bilateral stimulation, or they get way too flooded way too quickly in trying to address what's going on. So they're just resistant to it, or they're not ready for it yet, or they don't want to do it, or it just doesn't make sense for them. And that's okay. You can do it. Cognitive behavioral therapy for trauma is also very effective. It's just sort of depends on the client. And also for the clinician, it also depends a lot on like what they're comfortable with or what makes sense for them too.
Okay. So it's more about the uniqueness, the complexity of our clients, of their trauma, of their experience. That is where you're kind of deciding which modality is most effective.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have to work with your client, like, you know, you're dancing with your client in that situation. And so it's not just, you can't just impose what type of therapy you've in that situation. They have to be a partner with you in getting all that figured out and figuring out how to do it and what's going to make the most sense and then what they're comfortable with.
And from your client's experiences, are there physical side effects to this? So after somebody maybe has had the initial EMDR, maybe they've had a pretty intense session, what physical side effects have you been made aware of that come along with it?
So in the beginning, you have to assess if you're going to do the eye movements, you have to make sure it's not going to cause headaches or eye strain or things like that. Or sometimes people can have like reactions to just moving their eyes back and forth like that. So you have to be really careful there. That amount of eye movement and that amount of like concentration can absolutely cause headaches. So sometimes there, what you'll do is you'll use the TheraTappers or a different type of bilateral stimulation to help that out. As far as other physical side effects after a tough session, like sometimes people will have like stomach aches, or they'll be a little shaky, or they'll be a little like brain foggy or things like that, just because they've been thinking about like really rough stuff for like 50 minutes or an hour and a half or things like that. And so those things can happen. And in the beginning, it's my job as the clinician to walk them through that might happen.
Got it. Okay. So is there anything else that you feel like, so if someone's trying to decide, they're maybe they have a traumatic experience or a traumatic childhood and they're trying to decide which treatment approach is best for them, is there anything you would want people to know about it or that you would have them consider when deciding what type of therapist to look for?
Yeah. So I think as far as like the other part, as far as EMDR, about like why I think it's helpful and effective that way, is that like cognitive behavioral therapy, for example, what a lot of it is dependent on like the therapist driving a lot of that and helping the client get to insight. But like, we're doing a lot of the work. EMDR is much more under the idea of the client is innately self-healing. If we can remove some of those blocks, like if something's stuck in a cut and we can help pull that out, that cut will heal by itself. That's what the EMDR can do. We're just removing that thing that's in the way and allowing you to heal yourself. Your body and mind are designed for that. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about EMDR.
All very interesting. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. Can you tell guests where they can find more information about you?
Sure, absolutely. The website is evolvecounselingaz.com. My social media is Michael_Klinkner Counseling. And the Facebook is Michael Klinkner Counseling. And I also have a podcast and a YouTube, and that's found as Evolve Counseling and Behavioral Health.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you all for tuning in to this episode of Calm, Cool, and Connected. Please make sure to find us on Facebook and Instagram. And also make sure you rate and subscribe to our podcast so that others can discover our content as well. Thank you again for joining in for this episode of Calm, Cool, and Connected. Have a great day.